You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? If there are no other announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. And Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And Father God, we just want to ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Got a handout coming around. I was caught off guard yesterday when Derek called. I was in the garage cleaning, and he asked me to teach today. It was a case where I felt I didn't have much time to put a sermon together. But what an easy topic to be given now, Mother's Day. Because I have a mom, and I'm married to a mom. So I think I have seen a little bit about being a mom, and could share some thoughts with you. So let's open up with prayer and we'll get started. Father God, we pause now to say thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins we have in him. Thank you for the role of the family unit in our lives and what you have put in the responsibilities of a father and a mother, and how you use that to teach your word to the very young and grow them up with the fear and admonition of the Lord. We really thank you for the calling we have in your scripture to get to know you better. And just thank you for everything you do. For us, in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Well, the history of Mother's Day. You know, who was it that said, let's celebrate mothers? It wasn't a guy. But eventually, President, Woodrow Wilson in 1914 made it an official holiday to celebrate mothers. So, and I guess 2014, it'll be 100 years to celebrate that holiday. The history here, and as you see in your handout, it's celebrated in the second Sunday in May. It's a day when children honor their mothers with gifts, cards, flowers, perhaps time. It was first observed in Philadelphia in 1907, based on suggestions by Julia Ward Howe in 1872 and Anna Jarvis in 1907. Although it wasn't celebrated in the U.S. until 1908, there were days honoring mothers even in the days of ancient Greece. In those days, however, it was Rhea, the mother of gods, was given honor. So we necessarily don't celebrate Rhea on Mother's Day. But later in the 1600s, there in England, there was an annual observance called Mothering Sunday. It was celebrated during Lent on the fourth Sunday. On the Mothering Sunday, the servants who generally lived with their employees were encouraged to return to home and honor their mothers. It was traditional for them to bring a special cake along to celebrate the occasion. Well, here in the U.S. in 1908, Anne Jarvis from Grafton, West Virginia, began a campaign to establish a National Mother's Day. Jarvis persuaded her mother's church in Grafton, West Virginia, to celebrate her Mother's Day on the anniversary of her mother's death. A memorial service was held there on May 10, 1908, and in Philadelphia on the following year, where Jarvis moved. Jarvis and others began a letter-writing campaign to ministers, businessmen, politicians in their quest to establish a National Mother's Day. They were successful, and Woodrow Wilson in 1914 made the official announcement of proclaiming Mother's Day a national observance that was to be held each year on the second Sunday of May. So, Mother's Day became an event in 1914 to celebrate on the second Sunday of May. Through the years, mothers have given great advice. Okay. Some of that advice you can obviously probably remember. Mom earned the nicknamed Sergeant in our household because Mark and I were affectionately moved by the wisdom from Sergeant. So some advice I have put down here on the handout you may have heard before. You know, always change your underwear. You never know when you'll have an incident or accident. Don't make that face or it'll freeze in that position. Be careful or you'll put your eye out. Okay? What if everyone jumped off a cliff? Would you have to do it too? Sure. You can identify with that one, huh? You have enough dirt behind your ears to grow potatoes. Close that door. Were you born in a barn? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. I think, Kathy, this is one of your favorites because I've heard that a few times in our household. If you can't say anything nice, just be quiet. Don't put that in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. You know, I think that flies in the rule of the blow off. If you drop some food, you can blow it off in like 2 seconds, and it or 10 seconds. Oh man, you're generous. So 10 second rule there. Now here's a great thing that I was emailed, and I had kept it, and I had this folder of holidays in my church folder. Where I was going in there, obviously, to see if I had created a Mother's Day sermon for, and I was going to lean on that. And there was nothing there. So but I saw this email I had saved and put in there, and it was really good because I put it in here. I wanted to share it with you. Read along with me. When God made moms. By the time the Lord made mothers, he was into a 6th day of working overtime. An angel appeared and said, "Why are you spending so much time on this one?" And the Lord said, "Have you seen the spec sheet on her? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic, have over 200 movable parts, all replaceable, run on black coffee and leftovers, have a lap that can hold 3 children at one time that disappears when she stands up, have a kiss that can cure anything from a scraped knee to a broken heart, and have 6 pairs of hands." The angel was astonished at the requirements for this one. 6 pairs of hands? No way, said the angel. The Lord replied, "Oh, it's not the hands that are the problem. It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers must have." And that's just on the standard model, the angel asked. The Lord nodded in agreement. Yep, 1 pair of eyes are to see through the closed doors as she asks her children what they are doing, even if she already knows. Another pair in the back of her head are to see what she needs to know, even though no one thinks she can. And the 3rd pair are in her front of her head. They're looking for an errant child and saying that she understands and loves him or her, even without saying a single word. We had recently we had an occurrence of this at home. Carter and Clayton were playing in Carter's room, and Kathy was in the bathroom, in the master bathroom. You know, this is other in the house, around the corner. And she heard what was going on. So she barked out orders to Carter, and he just couldn't understand how she knew what was going on. He was in there trying to explain it. You don't understand. You have to listen to me. And he was trying to tell the story of his way. And he just couldn't get out because Kathy was always ahead of him, telling him what the problem was in the current situation. And later on, I pulled Carter aside and I said, "Son, you don't understand. Mothers have a 6th sense or a 3rd pair of eyes. They can see what's going on, even if they're not in the room. You think they don't understand, but they do." And she nailed every situation in telling him what the wrong was wrong with the situation. It was really quite eloquent the way she did it. And I pulled her aside later and I said, "You know, you just nailed that situation with Carter and Clayton." And I'm just want to tell you, it was really amazing how good you did with that situation. I'm not that way. I typically go in as a bull in a china cabinet and, shake them up and swat them on behind and say, move on. But her ways are not like that. You know, they're much like a mother. And they're a lot better. You know, often at night, 8:30 is a bedtime. So when I'm putting the boys to sleep, I say, when I'm putting the boys to sleep, that's kind of a misnomer because always Kathy's the one to bring them to sleep. So, you know, every now and then I get fired up and say, I'm going to put the boys to sleep. So I go in and tuck them in. And the last thing they say to me is, send Mom in, please. You know, you just can't be tucked into bed by Dad. It's the mom that knows how to do it. And even Carter now, he can't go to sleep if he doesn't have Mom coming in tuck him in. She's really magic in that case. Now, let's get back to the story. The angel tried to stop the Lord. This is too much work for one day. Wait until tomorrow to finish. But I can't, the Lord protested. I'm so close to finishing this creation, and this is so close to my own heart. She already heals herself when she is sick and can be freed from family on a six, and can feed a family of six on a pound of hamburger and can get a 9-year-old to stand in the shower. The angel moved closer and touched the woman. But you have to make her have made her so soft, Lord? She is soft, the Lord agreed, but I have also made her tough. You have no idea what she can endure or accomplish. Will she be able to think, asked the Lord. Asked the angel, the Lord replied, not only will she be able to think, she will be able to reason and negotiate. The angel then noticed something and then reached out and touched the woman's cheek. Oops, it looks like you have a leak in this model. I told you that you were trying to put too much into this one. That's not a leak, the Lord objected. It's a tear. What's a tear for? The angel asked. The Lord said, the tear is her way of expressing joy, her sorrow, her disappointment, her pain, her loneliness, her grief, and her pride. The angel was impressed. You're a genius, Lord. You thought of everything. Women truly are amazing. Guys often don't get the crying thing, you know. Crying can't be a good thing, so it's really not all that, but it is. Women have a special talent to express emotion in that way. Well, I have all that wisdom, history of Mother's Day, when God made moms, some classic wisdom given by moms, but most importantly, what does the Bible say about mothers? You can go back to Genesis 3:20, and that's when it all started with Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:20 says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. You know, the Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden without sin. And when sin entered in the world, the seed of the woman was given to Eve to bring forth a Savior. Now, it took several thousand years before that promise came to effect. But, Eve was the mother of all living. All the descendants in earth came from those two. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 and 24 was when Adam had said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You know, this is amazing how this year alone we're going to celebrate, what, our 19th year of marriage, Kathy? 19 years. It's amazing how fast it goes. And having grown in a relationship together, we were, married as young whippersnappers. And, at the age of 30, had Carter. And hat 36, we have Clayton. And, you know, it's amazing to watch how a wife turns into a mother. And the it's a blessing to watch it happen. I really sit back and say, you know, a friend, Kathy, does the you know, the character qualities here. She teaches school. She's at home. She does it all. You know, I work at home with my job. I work virtual. I'm based in Minneapolis, but, you know, I work in Oklahoma. And in a sense, I've tried to put in my effort into the household chores because I'm at home. My office is there, so I never get away from it. So in a sense, I've felt I've been educated this year on what it means to be a mother. Just a little bit, because the laundry stack grows and the dishes in the sink are there. So by the end of the day, I try and have laundry done and dishes done. Yeah. So she's really happy about that. But I've come to a realization that when she gets home, I'm waiting for her for dinner. And she often comes in, you know, long day at school, and is trying to get dinner started. And it started occurring to me that, wait, maybe I should have dinner ready when she gets home. So, you know, in this way, I would essentially, you know, have dishes done, laundry done, and if I do the dinner, I might as well be the mom. But I can't. You know, I couldn't be the mom because I don't have the talent that you mothers do to fulfill that role. It's a God-given talent. You know, I'm just a dad that, you know, puts in, you know, a few extra, you know, hours to help out around the house, but it's not being the mom. It's really a special role that's God-given to her. And we'll see that in the scripture to come. Exodus 20, chapter 12 says, "Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God hath given thee." This was the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and mother. There's a special role in the family when you are, you know, brought into a family. As you are raised, you are to honor your father and mother, because they bring special skills to the table in your education. For instance, Leviticus 19:13. "Every one of you shall revere his mother and father, and shall keep my Sabbath, so I am the Lord your God." Look at Proverbs 1:8-9. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and sate not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace around thy head and chains about thy neck." You know, this is a classic case of the family. You know, in the family you have instruction of thy father. You know, you're constantly giving the kids, you know, it's really simple. You know, you follow A through B through C and it's done. You know, move on. But the mother, you know, is one that is a giving of the law and the law of the household. So, you know, it's constantly a case where the kids figure out, okay, if mom says to not to do something, I can go to dad and ask him. Well, if the dad is not in tune with it, he usually say, yeah, sure. And then, oops, the mom comes and finds out, and you're in trouble. You know, so I've learned now to answer the kids saying, "What does your mom say?" What she says goes, you know. Look at Proverbs 6:20-22. "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and sate not for the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck." Now, what are these instructions, or father's commandment and law of thy mother? What do they bring to the table? Well, verse 22 tells us, When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When you sleep, it shall keep thee. When you're awake, it shall talk to thee. So wherever you go, wherever you sleep, whatever you do, the wisdom of your father and mother are what carries you and sends you forward. And their responsibility is to teach the children a fear and admonition of the Lord, to get them into Scripture, to teach them what's between right and wrong. Well, Proverbs 10:1 tells us, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 31:10-38, this is a virtuous woman chapter. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price as far above rubies? Skipping down to verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. It really is a blessing to have a helpmate that you can love and cherish and praise. And just watch as they partake in the family, teaching the children, taking care of all of us. It's really a blessing. And I've really been blessed, with my health issues. My first time I had a stroke, she was there for me. The second time I had a stroke, she was there for me. And, every time, it was a frightful or scary thing for me to go through. But she was my strength. She was there. Thank you, honey. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 through 33. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and he shall be joined under his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even of himself, and the wife she see that she reverence her husband. There's a blessing there. And that blessing between the husband and wife really is an example of what Christ had given to us in a relationship to his church. Ephesians 6:1-4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, we see mothers in Scripture and grandmothers fulfilling certain roles. My favorite is here in Timothy, when Paul is writing to him, saying, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee and be mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in my grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, that I am persuaded in thee also. Lois, the grandma, and Eunice, the mother, tag-teamed Timothy in bringing him up to speed for Paul to have this fellowship with. So, never underestimate the influence of a mother in a family. Betty here when I say sergeant. I have a ton of memories of Mom. They're all, when I was playing tricks on her. Carter likes to hear the stories of when you're playing tricks on Mom. Don't you, Carter? You like that? Yeah. There was a time I was in the living room, and there was a big old spider about yay big on the wall. And I, like a really good kid, went to Mom and said, Mom, there's a spider on the wall in the living room. Now, she had been burned many a times by me, I guess, from some other stories. But she went into the living room to grab that spider with her hand because she knew it was plastic. So when she went to grab the spider, it ran off. And she belted the scream. I mean, gosh, it was just great. That was one of many stories, right, Betty? You probably have a few on me, but, you know, they're not true. So, mothers are really special. And to have my mother here with me and my family has been a real blessing. And to see Kathy be the mother she is a real blessing. And, you know, I just thank God for mothers and what they do for us and for me, because they're a real blessing. So let's close with prayer. Father God, now, thank you for this time when we can come together in fellowship to praise your name and study your word. Thank you for the role that mothers have in our families and the blessings they bring to the table. It's just a real joy, Lord, to see a mother in action and the role that she plays. The she gives the law of the house and really is a blessing. Thank you for your son, Christ Jesus, and forgiveness of our sins. For we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.